Well, check it out, y'all. We got what you need. We're all living in apartments, condos, vans. Well, dude, even you can have a studio. A studio in a box. Yes, we can help you with that right here at Blind Knowledge. We work on your budget, and we figure out your measurements. We'll get you the best sound for the best price. Let me know, 877-237-1143 or at blindknowledge.com. Yep.
Welcome to Paranormal, the New Normal once again. I am your host, Jeremy, as always, trying to make the world seem a little more normal. Are we going to do that today? Well, actually, kind of, I guess. I mean, in a way, but more to come on that. I'll explain my logic at the end. But I am joined, as always, by another wonderful guest in the world of the paranormal. And she's actually a kind of a new entry into the world of the paranormal, in a way. My guest is Tamara Smith, who is a new paranormal author, and we are excited to have her and talk about her book and future books, possibly. Tamara, how are you doing tonight?
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to be here today. And definitely, I am new to this whole thing. Definitely loved watching all the movies, TV shows, and all that other fun stuff growing up. It's always been an interest of mine, but to delve into it the way that I have now is definitely completely different from the norm.
Yes, you have done something I've only dreamed about in my wildest of dreams, because I know I never could freaking do it. But I take that back. I can do it, but I don't have the time to do it, I don't think. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to ever work out. Can't say I've really tried, but I've always wanted to do what you do. And, well, for all you folks out there saying, well, what the hell does she do? Tell us already.
Yes. So... yeah, it's a little bit of a weird story. So it's funny that you say in your wildest dreams, because this whole thing actually did start as a dream. So I actually am a payroll manager, which is very shocking to most people when they find that out, that I have written a paranormal book in the werewolf realm. It's probably the most shocking thing to have those two things put together. But my daughter, all the time, she kept me up when I was on maternity leave. She wouldn't fall asleep. And of course, then when she finally did fall asleep, I couldn't sleep. So I got stuck reading a lot of these paranormal stories. And I've always been more intrigued with the werewolf vampire kind of genre of the paranormal. And one night, I guess it all kind of trickled in with that lack of sleep. When I finally did fall asleep, I had the wildest dream. It felt like I was watching a movie. I could see and visualize everything, the scenes, what was happening. I woke up, I explained it to my better half right away. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was so cool. This happened and that happened and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, stop telling me about it. Go write it down. He's like, I'll watch the kids. And of course, like, I'm on mat leave. I've got two young kids. One's a couple months old. The other one was three. I'm like, wait, you're going to watch the two kids and I'm going to go off in a little corner somewhere with the door closed and you're going to leave me alone. You're going to watch them and I'm going to do my thing. For sure. I was like, that sounds like a good deal. Like, I'll take it. I had no idea by the end of this that I would have an actual published book and I would finish it. I thought I'd just get at least a couple of days break and then I would give up completely and go back to doing being a mom and doing the things that I needed to do. And, you know, he just kept watching them and I kept typing and eventually I had a finished product. And it was quite the accomplishment to get that done.
It sounds, I mean, that story alone is just, I mean, well, that one, to have a husband not do that, props to the husband, because I, yep. That's the type of thing I would do if my wife was ever so inclined to write a book in that moment. But, and I mean, the fact you did a werewolf book just makes my heart soar into so many different places, because I've been a fan of werewolf literature for a long time, and vampire literature, as long as it's not Twilight, I swear to God. As long as it's not Twilight, I'm good. But what was I going to say? And we even don't, I have a thing for saying, we don't like the word werewolf on this show, even, because I prefer the real term, dogmen.
Yes.
But so before this, were you ever really into like the paranormal at all? Like, did you, I mean, I know you said you watched some of the movies and whatnot, but did you ever?
I've watched all of them. So my dad always liked watching Silver Bullet and stuff like that. So grew up watching that kind
classic.
Of stuff. But I was into like all the crazy, like teeny bopper stuff, Buffy, Angel, Supernatural, like Grimm. I watched all of those kind of things. All the movies, the Blades and the Underworlds and like all of those type of things. Like I just have always been intrigued by all of that kind of stuff. Even the really cheesy ones, the gory ones, like I'm all in, just totally watching more so that side of it.
So with watching all these, did you ever actually look into your, like if there's any like Bigfoot sightings or Dogman sightings in your area, or like, did you ever actually try to, did it ever actually get you into like the more cryptid side of things where you were actually like online, like, okay, where's Bigfoot been seen around here?
I haven't gone that far into it, but I do know. So right now I am residing in Vancouver, British Columbia. So we do have like the Wendigo and that kind of stuff going on over here is what the sightings that they talk about and stuff. I haven't gone out and been like, ooh, let me go find them. Like I said, I've got two kids and I don't have time for that kind of stuff. Oh,
I get that. I 100% get that. So trust me, I get that. So, I mean, I love that you brought up the Wendigo though. And the fact, okay, Vancouver, I know that area is 100% Wendigo territory. We might get into that in a little bit. We might, but so tell my audience, what is a brief synopsis of your book without giving away spoilers?
Yeah, you know what? I do give away some spoilers. So on my website, I do have chapters 1 through 1 and 2 that I actually recorded and read out to people. And there is a big spoiler in chapter 2. Essentially, there's a young girl, early 20s. She's, you know, just trying to live the simple life. She doesn't want anything extravagant. She's working a summer job as a waitress outside of her school, university, that kind of stuff. She's met the perfect guy, you know, fiance, ready to get married. She's got a group of friends. Everything is lovely. And she ends up going out on a night in the town with her friends for one last shindig because she hasn't really spent much time with them, only to find out that her significant other is there with another woman. I will leave how she finds that out to the imagination and to you guys. But that is kind of the spoiler that does come out of the very early on, which kind of sets her spiraling. And she goes through this whole thing of deciding, what am I going to do? Like, I can't believe this. My whole life is falling apart. I had this plan of like my picket fence and all this stuff. And now what? And one of her friends just tells her, you know what? The only way to get over is to get even. And she's like, what? I'm not like that. She's like, yeah, you should do it. So long story short, she ends up deciding she's going to have a one night stand and just happens to pick an alpha of a werewolf pack to be the person who she has this one night stand with. And unbeknownst to her, he turns out to be her true mate from the moon goddess. And they go down a whole realm of figuring out hidden secrets and things like that. And he tries to woo her over while in the midst of his own war with another alpha, trying to protect her, gain more power, that kind of stuff. So yeah, it kind of unfolds from a bunch of different avenues.
Nice. I like it. I like the sound of it so far. I actually I'm gonna have to read this now. I'm gonna have to read it because I see, I almost kind of wish I read it in the last couple weeks before but I know I wouldn't have finished it in that time. It takes me a month to finish a book at this point in my life, but at least, and that's if I actually spend like every day on my lunch break reading a little bit of it. But and that's the only way it happens. But So right now, is it only werewolves, or did you throw in some other creatures of?
Yeah, so mostly werewolves. I did throw in a couple witches here and there in the first book. So I started writing this book, as I said, I just kind of brain dumped everything I saw in my head in the dream. I went to work. I just really jotted down, like, what did I see? Write it down. What did I see? Write it down in rough draft form. Just tried to dump everything out of my brain onto a piece of paper. And by the end of it, I was getting kind of far along and I'm like, how many pages should a genre like this be? And I went and looked up some of like the normal, some of the books of what was going on and realized that I had already exceeded the page count of like a normal size book. So I was like, oh, I have a lot more to write. So I'm pretty sure it's going to end up being 3 books. I only able to fit part of the story in the dream that I saw in my head into one so far. So that was the first part. And then, you know, you probably will get through it very quickly, I promise. It actually has big words in it, which a lot of people have told me they like. And I'm a little OCD when it comes to reading. I can't set a book down without finishing a chapter. It just bugs me to finish mid-chapter. So I actually made all the chapters short. So, you know, 6-7 pages, you can make it. You can finish it, right? You can go to the bathroom real quick. You can go on the bus real quick. You know, the kids are in the bath. You can read it real fast, the chapter. You know, it goes pretty quickly. But the feedback I'm getting is most people really are enjoying the story, whether they're in the into the genre, not into the genre. They're liking the storyline of it. And the thing that I like about it, and that I like more so about a lot of the ones that I do watch, the ones that are a little bit more natural, that, yeah, you know what, this could happen. Like, there could be this whole society that's living alongside us and doing these things, and we may be completely oblivious to it.
I mean, yeah, as that separator, I am too. I like the short chapters. I mean, Stephen King tends not to do that. His chapters are long as freaking hell, and it drives me nuts, because like I literally used to smoke a cigar every night and read, like, sit down and read the Stephen King book I was reading at that moment, and I could finish a cigar and still be in the same chapter, and I'd be like, what the fuck, like, how is that possible? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Like, you start looking back pages, like, did I miss it? Did I keep reading past it? What happened?
It's J.K. Rowling kind of did that with Harry Potter. Like, the chapters were shorter. Like, they were, like, you can get through a chapter in 20, 25 pages, and that's what you want, though, because then it's just, yeah, okay, I got a chapter done, I can go back to work now or whatever and read the next chapter tomorrow. But I don't know, it's just sometimes, I mean, as long as the chapters are packed. Like, I don't like it when there's, like, a chapter and it's, like, 3 pages and, like, nothing happened. It's like, I mean, yeah. if it's like an interlude thing, then yeah, sure, but I know some authors who do that.
I didn't do that. I wrote this book as a person who enjoys reading and wants things to happen and knows that things need to happen to keep someone interested in what they're going to want to continue to read it. Like I said, I'm not a writer. This is my first book. I literally just saw the screens in my head, put them down. I don't know if you remember a lot of your dreams and stuff like that, but with my dreams, it's kind of, here's a big scene, and then I'm in another big scene and another big scene. There's no, like, how did I get from here to here? So I did have to kind of come up with that in my brain. Like, how did this person get from, like, this step to that step? But filling in all those bridges, that took a little bit longer, but for the most part, it came pretty naturally. And I think as people are reading the book, it comes very natural to them as well to follow along. The other thing that they like is I have done it from different personas. So the heroine, you'll follow it through her view. For example, in the club, you'll be listening as her. She's like, oh, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. And then it'll switch over to the alpha's character. And like, oh, I smell this scent of, like, this. And like, wait, my mate is somewhere in here. Which one is she? I don't know. You know, that kind of stuff. So I'll play some of the scenes over again so you can see it from different characters' perspectives.
Oh, I love when books like this do that. I mean, Rochelle Mead did that. She was a big, the guy who wrote The Inheritance cycle, I can't think, was Christopher Paolini. They all did that too, where it's character-based view. Like, each chapter is a different character and, like, what's going on with them at that moment. And it, to me, that's a better book because it gives you a better view of everything. I mean, some authors will do a little backtracking and be like, well, while this was happening. But I like it when it actually, like, says, like, the person's name, and then that way you know it's them.
And yes, it's not that's what happened to me when I was writing it. Exactly what you're saying. I started writing it from one person's point of view, and by the time I got to the fourth chapter, I'm like, wait, and how am I going to express what this person was feeling, what this person was saying and thinking in that moment? I can't without being them. So then I had to go back to the first chapter and rewrite those chapters.
I mean, it works. It really works. But I'm kind of curious, because when I said I don't like the word werewolf, I said I like the word dogman's dead. You didn't even flinch. So I have a feeling you know what I'm talking about, and that's kind of got me curious.
Yeah, you know what? There's a, honestly, even writing a book like this on the werewolves, like there's so many different takes on it. There's so many different things. Like, is the moon goddess called Celeste? Is she called Celine? I don't know, but everybody's got a different version. They can do different things. Some silver, some garlic, some this, some that. Like, I just kind of took what I felt was realistic, what I felt made sense, and made a story out of it.
Ooh, well, here's the real question to tell, if you actually went the legend way or if you went the supposed realistic way of Dogmen, just do silver bullets affect it?
Silver bullets will be affecting. However, I went more with the wolf's bane in the first book than I did with the silver bullets. But yes, that will be coming a little bit later.
Interesting, because I mean, well, Wolfsbane, I don't know if Wolfsbane actually works on Dogmen or not. I haven't heard anything about that. We know silver bullets don't work because there's been many tales of people actually trying to get rid of Dogmen and that didn't work. It just angers them.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Oh, so, my God.
Yeah, silver in general impacts these werewolves.
All right. Yeah, you don't got to get too much away, but all right. So you went more the classic legend of the werewolf type way. That's because in the paranormal world, most of us believe that dogmen have been around since the beginning of time, just like our big hairy friend Bigfoot. And the idea of a werewolf kind of came from dogmen, and it just came from humans telling the story over and over again and adding parts to it to try and make it seem less scary and make it seem more relatable. But
yes,
I mean,
well,
I just,
you know, there's always evolution in stories, you know, it's true. What may have impacted someone at an earlier stage may not impact them, or maybe there's things that they can do. You know, I had a friend who swore she was allergic to cats, and she told me, oh yeah, I own a cat. And I'm like, what do you mean? Didn't you tell me you were allergic? And she's like, oh yeah, you can, if you just get yourself into them and like hang around them enough, eventually that allergy will wear off. I'm like, I don't know if that's a thing.
I was going to say, pretty sure that's not the way that works. But
I mean, she believed it, so you know, maybe there's something to say with the werewolves that wolfsbane, silver, those kind of things. Over time, they adapt to it the same way people adapt, and you know, sickle cell to fight malaria. You know, who knows? I don't know.
I mean, whatever floats your boat. That's what you gotta do. With that type of stuff. Whatever floats your boats. Well, in this. So you said that you plan on writing a trilogy, basically.
Yes.
Maybe more eventually. Maybe, who knows? You could do spin-offs of characters and whatnot. I mean, I've seen it done before, and it works miraculously. Yes. But so is there eventually going to be other cryptids or other legendary creatures thrown into these books, or is it going to stay pretty hard on the just werewolf aspect?
Yeah, I think right now, werewolves for sure, there is going to be a much larger witch content moving forward through a little bit through book two and then going into book three as well. It's just a transition that the story took in my dream, so I'm going to stick with it and hope that everybody still likes it. But yes, those two are the main ones in this particular story.
All right, which I mean, I got to ask though, how long was this dream? Like, because you seem like to have a lot from it.
I wish I knew. Honestly, I literally felt like I was watching a movie and I did not want to wake up. I wanted to keep watching it to find out what was going to happen. I was like, I need to know the end of this. How do I win? You know, like.
I'm telling you, if I've had a dream like that in the last 10 years, even, I don't remember it. that's just,
you know, I've always had them, to be honest, as a kid. Like, as a kid growing up, I always had these sort of dreams, good dreams, bad dreams, you know, like Godzilla, all those things. Yep, they were there. I was fighting them. I was trying to escape, you know, all those kind of things. And they were always very real to me. I always felt like I was in them. And I'd wake up screaming, or I'd wake up happy, or, you know, whatever it was that was in the dream. I mean, sometimes I was able to sit on a unicorn and fly through the air and stuff like that. And I literally felt like I was actually flying through the air. So, you know, I get them a lot less now than I did as a kid, but I definitely get them every now and then where it's just kind of like, oh, okay, this is great.
Kind of. Okay. Well, one, that's the kind of dream my daughter would love to have, I'm sure. But and I mean, have you ever considered the fact that you might be a lucid dreamer?
No.
Well, do you know what lucid dreaming is?
No.
It's basically when you can control your dreams. It's people who can recall their dreams fully and can control them. And sometimes in their dreams, they can like really control it. Like they control the narrative completely in the dream.
Yes. So I do believe that I can do that. So sometimes if I see a dream not going the way that I want it to, it's almost like I hit a rewind button on the TV remote kind of, and I'm like, no, this is not what's supposed to happen. It has to go like this. And even to the point where this is going to sound really weird, but I've had dreams where nightmares per se, where I'm laying on one side, maybe like my left side, and I'll be like, oh, that's like, I'll wake up from it. I'll turn over to the other side and it will go away. But then sometime in the night, I turn back to the other side and the nightmare comes back right where I left off. I know, it's crazy.
No. I find that highly fascinating in like a scientific way almost, because it's, I mean, I've never, that's like being a dream tuner while you're sleeping. Like you're the antenna. It doesn't fully make sense.
It's great if you're in a good dream. It's not so great if you're in a bad dream.
I mean, at least you know all you got to do is wake up and turn over and you'll go back to the dream you want to be in. But I've never heard of that. That's insane. Like I know people who would love to have that power because they have, what do you call them? God, I can't even think what they're called, but very bad nightmares basically. And I can't think of that name, but sleep terrors. Yeah, that's what it is. But
yes,
night terrors.
Yeah, night terrors. My son has night terrors. It's fun.
I'm guessing it's a genetic thing, because I'm guessing he could probably eventually learn to do what you do. That'd be my guess.
I'm wondering if he's going to have the dreams that I have, because I definitely have seen some of the signs. He's still a little too young for me to tell, but I definitely see some of when he's waking up and the screaming that he's doing, that it's so real to him. And then he realizes that, wait, no, something else is here. Like, I didn't know really what was happening when I was a kid.
Well, and I only ask this because it usually is involved with lucid dreaming to some degree. Have you ever had sleep paralysis where you wake up and like you can't move, but it sometimes looks like there's a shadowy, demony figure like staring at you?
No. I've only had one time that I've ever woken up in my life, and it literally was because I went too hard at the gym. That hasn't happened anytime recently, but way back when I was like healthy and doing what I should be doing before kids, I had woken up and I couldn't move my body. I couldn't lift my arms, couldn't lift my legs. I was just like, yep, this is a stay at home day. I can't get up. But I know it was definitely over exertion at that point. Haven't had that otherwise.
Yeah, that's a little different. Sleep paralysis is a whole nother thing that people suffer from, and some people are terrified of it because it makes it look like there's some kind of demon-y shadow figure in your room when you wake up, and it's terrifying from what I've been told. But
yeah,
luckily I never had it happen. But
yes, thank goodness. I don't want that.
But I mean, it's usually lucid dreaming and that go hand in hand. So that's why I was kind of curious. But I don't know. I mean, you'd be an interesting case for paranormal research to try to figure that out. But I don't even know how they would go about that. Really, I really don't. It's not my forte to do that type of research. But
I'm sure I'll be hooked up to a whole bunch of things. Oh, something's happening.
Well,
it's true though, because even at work, I would get a lot of epiphany moments in the middle of the night and stuff like that too. Like I find that my brain is still subconsciously, I guess, active, where it's doing things. And it, like when I'm in a dream, like I said, if it's something that's bad or something that I don't like, I definitely can manipulate it sometimes.
So you said you used to read these books all the time when your kids would keep you up.
Yes.
Do you have any favorite authors of them or favorite series that stick out to you?
So I can't say I have like a favorite or anything like that. So, you know, it's kind of, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but you know, most of it was done on my phone through Facebook. You know, I picked one of those streaming books. I just picked one and now I get them all the time. And I read the first couple pages and I'm like addicted. I'm so bad. I think I have an addictive personality when it comes to these things, because I need to know what happens. And, you know, I put money into it and I read the next page. And then I try to wait and just do like one chapter at a time, earning like coins by checking in every day. And it's so frustrating, but I do it anyways, you know, and it was those stories that I got addicted to because they were right at my hands, you know, like my kid is sleeping next to me in the bed. I got to be quiet. I got to be silent. I can't turn on the light and open everything up. So I put it on kind of like the moon, like dark setting, as I could get it on my phone and just be reading and streaming it right there from whatever Starry novel, web novel, Wattpad I could download and have.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about technology. I mean, being able to read a book on Kindle is the greatest thing ever. I mean, yeah, I like holding a book in my hand as much as the next person, but you can't do things while you're doing that. Even to like get a sip of your drink, it's like you have to figure out how to like freaking move everything around, put it down in your leg, hope it doesn't fall over and lose your place. Like, it's just
complete pain in the ass. My book, I can't read anything.
I mean, with your phone, it's just like, okay, bookmark this for a second. Thank you. Good. I get to move the kid while holding the phone. Yeah, I can do that too. Like, it's just.
And it remembers what chapter I was on if it accidentally closes.
And if you literally can open it again right away, it'll go right to where you left off. It won't even close up the app. It's great. It's technology at its greatest. That's one of the only good things about technology nowadays, if you ask me. But yes. I don't know. It's just.
So I probably read too many of them. And then my brain just started going and thinking and meshing all these things together and coming up with its own ideals.
Well, I mean, eventually, if you read enough of the same genre, you're going to start putting together in your head, like, what you would have done differently. Like, you create like the perfect book of all the ones you read, and everything they were lacking you can add in that you could think of. So it's,
yes,
I mean, it literally is fan fiction, but done in the greatest like form, because I mean, you got published, so obviously it's great fan fiction almost in a way. But it's just, yeah. I don't know, it's so true.
I think a couple of Christmases ago I got sick. And I, before my kids, so it was probably like 6 years ago, and I binge watched The Walking Dead. It's a really bad thing to binge watch, I'm just telling you. I watched like 5 or 6 seasons, and I literally was walking around going like, okay, if this person turned into a zombie, what would I do? If they broke through my door, how would I like get out of this predicament that I'm in this basement suite at the time? But I was really going like stir crazy in my head. Like, this, like, what if this happened? How would I do it? Like, what would I do? And I was really morphing that into almost everything that I did for like the next 2 days when I finally like left my house after being sick.
Nice. It's to be expected. And yeah, I have binged The Walking Dead, and it's not a bingeable series in my opinion either. No, it's just, it's too slow moving and too boring. You're wasting, like, it would just be hours of people talking sometimes. And it's just like, I mean, at least if you binge Supernatural or something, it's at least entertaining the whole time. But I mean, I honestly don't know how Walking Dead went on as long as it did. I really don't. I have to stop watching it and go back into it every so often, because it's just like, ugh. I love it, but.
I think the beginning of the seasons and the end of the seasons, and then they had like one episode in the middle. So it was kind of like dry, whoa, dry, whoa.
Basically. I mean, that's basically the formula they use, is something big happens every 4 to 5 episodes. And it's just, yes. That's, and then right when it gets good, to be continued in 6 months. Oh, fuck you. Like, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
Yeah, totally.
I forget what show that was I was watching, and they did that, and I literally like almost threw, got off the couch and threw something. I was like, no.
I think a lot of them do that now.
Yeah, I mean Stranger Things, they always end the season on like with really no cliffhanger. Like, there's really no cliffhanger at the end of the season. Like, they give you a little one, but it's not like, it's like a who cares one. Like, we kind of knew that was going to happen.
I always think those are the ones where they're like, they're not sure if it's going to get picked up for another season or not, so they don't want to leave us hanging too much.
Well, I mean, there are some series that went off on cliffhangers completely and never came back. So it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's the way of the art. You don't know if your show's going to get picked up ever unless you have a multi-season deal, which, I mean, Stranger Things did, but they still end the seasons that way just because. Yeah. But I don't know. But speaking of TV and movies, would you like to see your trilogy, once it's completed, become a TV series or movies?
I feel like that would be awesome. So it's kind of funny because when I tell people about it, I'm like, yeah, it played in my head like I was watching a movie. And they're like, but you wrote it into a book. I'm like, well, yeah, because what else was I going to do? I can't film my own movie. Right? Like, I don't have that kind of money. I don't know.
I mean, have you seen some of the horror movies that are out there? I'm pretty sure you could do a better job than they did.
Yeah, I've seen a few. I remember watching my friend and I think we were in the eighth grade or something. We're like, we're going to watch a scary movie. And every time something scary was about to happen, it had these red flashes on the screen to warn you. We're like, what is this?
That's so, what the
yeah,
heck?
That was yes, I have seen some bad ones. But yeah, I mean, I've had people who are reading it and stuff, like I said, very good feedback. It was my first book, so I did make a couple of little things that I've learned from, of course. Like, I probably should have forked out the dough for a little extra editing and stuff. I know that now. So the next one will be even better. But the storyline itself, I'm getting really good feedback. And I've had people tell me, like, I can see this into a movie. Or I can, like, I'm watching something on Netflix, and this is much better than that, you know? Like, this should get picked up and stuff. So that is something that I am hearing out there, but it just is a matter of me getting the marketing and all of that fun stuff out there to get it known and see where I can go and if I can actually finish the second one now that I'm back at work full time.
Well, I mean, I'm glad I can get you on the show to help promote this book. And I definitely am going to be reading it myself because once I do read it, I will want you back on when the second one's about to be released so I can kind of try to pick at things and see if I can guess. I'm good at that sometimes, but we'll see. But I got it. If it was to get put into, say, a TV series, because all this stuff is TV series nowadays, they don't do these in movies anymore.
Yeah.
Who would you want to play your leads?
Oh, wow.
I love asking authors this question because it feels like they don't think about it enough, some of them.
I don't think about it. And you know, what's so funny is when I have my dreams, and like, this is something I've actually talked about openly, is I don't ever picture the people. Like, I don't picture, like, I can tell you what they were wearing. I can tell you sort of like how tall they were, but I can't ever see their faces or sort of what they look per se. They're just kind of almost like shadows to me. But I can tell you what they smelled like. I can tell you what they did. I can tell you what they thought. Like, I got all of that down. And, you know, it's kind of funny, even with the book, you'll find when you're reading through, I didn't spend a lot of time. And for me, reading a book, I know people will not like this, but to me, it's a waste of time describing what someone is going to look like, because I want you to form that in your own head. I want you to make those characters your own, and I want you to feel what they're feeling, and I want you to understand what they're feeling, but I want you to be able to picture yourself as one of the characters. I want you to be able to place yourself in them. So I kind of left it neutral and left it open for that specific reason, to let anybody be able to kind of fit into a character in the book.
See, I get 100% what you mean by that, but I kind of feel like there's books on both categories that were like, some books you can do that, some books you just can't. Because like, yeah. Harry Potter series, yeah, I need to know what they look like down to the exact detail, because that's what they look like. Like, you could never, yeah. I wouldn't want to have to picture like all those characters in my head, because I can't. It's a whole world. I mean, certain books, yes, that is great. I love that.
Cut out on me a little bit. Sorry to dive. There we go. All right.
When I'm in the middle of shows. But what I was saying, certain book series, they have to do that. Other book series, like, let's go back to my boy Stephen King. When he describes somebody's, dimples down to, like, how many centimeters big they are, I was like, come on, dude, come on.
Yes.
Get to the next thing in the book. I don't need five chapters describing what someone's house looks like. Yes. Oh my God. I mean, sometimes I love reading Stephen King, but sometimes it's just like, how many more pages of this? Oh God. Shoot me. Like,
it takes a good, I mean, you read it, it takes literally about 2 hours of reading to get to the good parts. Like, literally. Yes. I mean, it's fascinating, everything he's telling you, but you could have condensed it down a little, Steve. Sorry, you could have, but it's I get that it's his style of writing, but it's just, still, at the end of the day, it's just like, why? Like, I mean,
Well, you know, even though I didn't describe them, people, you can, I promise you, when you read this book, you'll be able to put yourself into it. Because my mom, she can't stand the genre at all. She's completely away from it. She read the book. She loved it. And one of the parts that she described, she was like, you know, when they turn into the werewolves and I'm describing how they're running through the forest for the first time after the first shift and they can feel like the paws on the ground and hear like the thunder and hear the trees and hear everything coming into them and feel the wind on their face. She was like, I kind of like, I felt like I could do that. Like I could be there. Like I wanted to be there. You know? So she was able to put herself into sort of the visualization of being in a wolf form. And for my mom, who hates the genre, to be able to do that, I know anybody here can do that and enjoy the book.
I mean, that means your words have power, basically. That's all it means, is because, I mean, I could easily picture myself as an alpha werewolf any day of the week. I don't need a book to do that even. But so, I mean, it's just the way it goes. But some people need that little bit of cueing and to feel like they're in the story. I mean, we don't have the imagination to do it otherwise, I guess, would be the best way to put it. But so, I don't know. I got to read your book now because I'm curious as hell about it. And I love a good werewolf book. I do. I mean, so, but what would you say for the listeners who want to possibly let younger people read it? What's your book rated, would you say, like if you had to give it a rating?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't let younger people read it. There is some sexual content. I will put that right out there. It's a werewolf book. They have maids and, you know, like they get a little freaky deaky. So, and some of that I do go into describing. So, you know, I have nieces around 13 and stuff like that. They are not allowed to read this book. Okay. So, save it for the older crowd.
Well, that's why I like to ask that question about these types of books, because that way, if these parents that listen to my show want to give it to their kids, they might think twice about it. But
yes, please think twice. I do warn you before that, like at the beginning of the chapters, I do put sexual content in parentheses so that parents are aware if they just want to skip and gloss over those aspects, they can.
Yeah, I mean, but a book like that, you gotta have it, in my opinion. Otherwise, it's like, what's the point? I mean, yeah, it's still about werewolves, but I mean, it's not. It feels like it's missing a chunk of it. They don't do that. I mean, it's not like you're writing pure Bigfoot or werewolf erotica or anything like that. Like you can find it on Amazon and that, I swear to God, it. The one time I listened to an author get interviewed on a podcast as a Bigfoot erotica author, I Amazoned Bigfoot erotica and oh my God, the amount of results that came back, I was like,
really?
What is wrong with this world?
Wow, I'm shocked.
I was too, and It's become a hot topic on my other paranormal podcast. It's become a hot topic now because we keep joking around saying when we run out of ideas, we're just going to sit there and read Bigfoot and Raga as free on Amazon as a part of our episode.
For sure. But I did mention in the beginning when I told you about the book that she goes and has a one-night stand with him. So, you know, I do kind of have to describe that a little bit, you know. Yeah.
I don't know. It could have been one of those like old sitcom things where that's where it fades to black and then next chapter opens up the next morning.
And the door closes.
Yeah. Exactly. You see a werewolf hand come out and put the do not disturb sign in the door. Yeah, I mean, that's comedy gold. Right there. That's comedy gold. See, this is why I should write sitcoms. But I don't know. Once I read it, I guarantee I'll be able to be like, okay, this character needs a spinoff. This character needs a spinoff.
You can tell me which ones need a spinoff for sure. I'll take that feedback.
This character needs to be a vampire buddy cop spinoff. I don't know. I'll try to think of some ideas for it when I read your book. I definitely will. And I'll
absolutely.
I mean, I have been reading the second book in Stephen King's Dark Tower series, but it's been taking me a long, long, long time because it's freaking. I literally will sit down and read 10 pages about him sitting on the beach. And I was like, why? Like, where's the actual storyline? What the hell? But
okay, well, I can tell you this book, it's only 250 pages. Okay.
Ooh, I like this.
And you can see, I'll show you. The words are pretty big. So you actually feel like you're making progress when you're reading.
Well, that's good. I mean, those are the type of books I like to read, because for adults who work full-time jobs and have children and all that, we don't get time to read unless we have nannies, and no one I know is rich enough for that. So, but...
I had someone tell me, they were like, oh, I'm so glad that you have the short chapters. I can read it on the bus. And then when I get off, I can finish off like the last page or whatever. And then I can go, like, I'm not stuck like halfway and can't get it done. I was like, you're welcome. I did that for me, but you're welcome.
Well, I mean, you must have, your needs match the needs of the many, apparently. So it works. So speaking of that book, where can people find that book, and where can they find you if they want to give you a commentary or tell you something they think should be done?
So the easiest way to get a hold of the book is through our friend Amazon. So I did go through self-publishing through a place called Book Baby, and it's everywhere. I mean, you can go to Chapters if you're in Canada. You can go to Barnes & Noble if you're in the States. But I find Amazon Canada, Amazon US, UK, France. It's all over all the Amazon and a bunch of other things online. But that's usually the best and quickest bet. And if you want to reach out to me, my website is TamaraDSmith.com. And I have lots of information on there. You can get the first two chapters for free. If you sign up for my newsletter, you can get chapters 3 and 4 also. And when you get those, you can also get the audio versions. I have read them out. So if you don't have time to read, you can at least listen and see if it's something that intrigues you. And if you don't know anything about werewolf lore, or you want to know the werewolf lore that I use in the book, I also have some references in my blog of where I came up with some of the ideas, and also a little cheat sheet of what werewolf lore applies to my book.
Well, there you go. Folks, you made it easy. And in a couple years, when the trilogy's released, maybe there'll be a box set edition with a little mini book at the end, all about werewolf lore. There you go. Yes, sure. I just gave you an idea. There you go.
I know. It might grow. I know. That was something I had to keep track of my own self, even my character list and stuff like that. I had it on the side, like, okay, this character is this person, because I had to keep referring back. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm like, how do people do this? Like, I'm a novice at this, and I didn't get any feedback or help with this. And I'm like, I just kind of had to do my own thing, but I don't know if I did it the way everybody else does it, but somehow I got it done.
Well, that's the key right there. You don't want to do it like everybody else does, because then it's not original. It's not you. And that's what you want. I mean, and obviously you published it and it's selling. So, and people are loving it. So there you go.
Yes.
Job accomplished. That right there, that's part of the reason I never tried writing a book, even, because trying to keep track of the characters is the part that I always dreaded. Like, especially in some of these books where you have like 50 characters, and it's just like, how did J.K. Rowling think of all these at the same time? And like, it's trying to keep all these characters straight. There's so many like one-off characters.
You know what? I'd like to think that other people had to write legends the same way that I did. I literally had to write down the names and be like, okay, this is this person's name. This is who they are. This is what their wolf's name is. Because in mine, the wolves have their own personalities as well. So each one of them has a name, and they have different points of view as well in certain things that happen. So it's not just the alphas or the human counterparts of the werewolf that we're discussing and talking and stuff. It is the werewolf version as well.
Nice. Well, I will, of course, make sure to put your website as well as a link to the book in the description of the podcast when it releases. And I encourage my readers, you ain't reading me. I encourage my listeners and watchers, go check out the book. I mean, you could read the first two chapters for free in her site. I mean, you read two chapters, you like it, you buy the book. You don't like it, get some new taste. But... that's the way I'll put it. But all my listeners and watchers, you know where you can find me. If you don't know, I hope a werewolf eats your cow. But check the outro, please. And Tamara, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to read your book. And I'm telling you, when your second one's about to come out, I'm getting you back on the show to promote it. So
thank you so much for having me. And I will absolutely be here when the second one comes out.
Well, I will let you I will gladly let you come back on. And until next time, listeners, I shall be back, I believe, Wednesday and Thursday this week with two more interviews. So come check those out and see you then. Have a good night.
You can find me on Facebook as Jeremy Bryant, or you can find me as Uncensored, Unapologetic, and Untamed UQ Podcast Collective group, Facebook group. You can find me on Twitter and the Instagram as @JuggaloBastard, or should I say X now. And you can find me on TikTok as @JuggaloBastardPodcast. You can also find me on YouTube as Paranormal the New Normal. And you can also find me streaming on YouTube as Blind Knowledge Network, because all knowledge is blind until they admit Bigfoot exists.